following message was delivered at Bible Baptist Church in Dickinson, North Dakota.
Have the wagon chutes with us, no matter what the reason. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2. That was the only way that Joel could get a piano. Amen. So he said, okay, we'll put up with them as long as they bring the piano. Amen. I guess it's better to have in-laws than outlaws. 1 Peter 2, sometimes they're the same. 1 Peter chapter 2, let's look at verse 1. The Bible says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I'd like to preach on this subject tonight, restoring them to active growth in the Lord, restoring them to active growth in the Lord. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for thy goodness, thy mercy, thy grace. Father, thank you for the eternal word of God that you preserve for us in our King James Bibles. And Father, Lord, we don't worship the Bible. We don't worship King James. We worship the God of the Bible. And I pray, God, as we draw near to thee tonight, I pray that you'd help me to preach thy word. And Father, help us to learn the things we need to learn from thy word that you've prepared for us. Lord, help me and help those who listen. Father, be with those who cannot be here tonight. Father, pray for my wife who's in Fargo or if you will, Lake Park. Pray, Father, for Esther and others. Lord, I pray your blessing on them. God, help our people. God, help us not to be critical of each other, but to love each other. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, restoring them to active growth. And the Lord, now I've been here among Peter is writing to tried believers in the Lord, strangers, as he referred to them, and had been experiencing, if you will, what seems to be a stall in their Christian growth rather than an even, slow, steady, forward moving in their faith. God would have us, as Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3, and verse 17, he gives a warning and then the admonition concerning spiritual growth. He says in 2 Peter 3 and 17, you know, therefore, he says, you therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. You know, we'll never, if we're not careful, find ourselves making forward progress as we ought to. There are times when every one of us may find ourselves, as the Bible says, sliding backward rather than making forward progress. But as Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, if you look there with me, our desire should be to always be moving forward for the Lord, growing in grace and in knowledge of the Lord. The Bible says, and let me say this, no matter who we are, and no matter how old we are in the Lord, there's always some room for growth. There always will be. Amen. In Philippians 3, and look at verse 7, here Paul writes, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and all things, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, speaking of his former life as a Jew, and now as a preacher of the gospel, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after that I may apprehend, if I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. You know, we never get to a place of having where we could say, you know, I have arrived spiritually. I am some spiritual giant. There are those that I think at times imagine that they're spiritual giants, only to find out later on how sometimes weak we are, and we're all that way. But Paul said, I haven't arrived, and I'm not thinking that I will arrive, but I'm striving, I'm moving forward, I'm pressing on. And he said, if there's a point in time in verse 15, he says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect or mature, be thus minded, meaning we should always be thinking and moving forward. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Folks, when there are times when we imagine we're moving forward, we imagine some things about ourselves that are not true, be sure of this: God will bring us down to earth. God will remind us. God will help us to see that maybe we're not what we imagine. Maybe we've not made the progress that we've imagined that we've made, even as Peter is speaking of in our text, looking back to 1 Peter chapter 2, these strangers, as he refers to them, that he's writing to under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he's writing to them, and it's interesting, he said many important things we've spoken about in chapter 1, and then we get to chapter 2, and we find out that there are some problems. You know, someone once said, as long as you're green, you're growing. As soon as you're ripe, you start to rot. Someone also said, be not afraid of growing slowly. Be afraid of only standing still. Amen. You know, Charles Haddon Spurgeon said this: we have the likeness of our boys taken on every birthday, so that we can see them at a glance from their babyhood to their youth. Suppose that such photographic memorials of our own spiritual life had been taken and preserved, there would there be a regular advance as in these boys, or would we still have been exhibited in the cradle? You know, there's something to be said that he said, have not some grown a while and then suddenly dwarfed? Have not some others gone back to childhood? You know, it's an important question to consider, and the Apostle Peter is writing about these things. Last week we considered verse 1, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. There were some things that had either developed in their life or had not been dealt with in their life, and Peter was addressing these things because he is trying under the leadership of God to restore them to active spiritual growth in the Lord. There were some things that were seeming to be a priority that shouldn't be there at all. He says, all malice, all guile, hypocrisies, and envies, and all evil speakings. And so tonight, we've talked about last week the things that we should lay aside or put off, as the Bible says, laying aside, meaning that viewing these things as if they were filthy, dirty clothing. Ever been out doing a job and you've just gotten completely filthy, and you go in the house, and the first thing your wife says is, take your clothes off. Why? Because she doesn't want this mess all over her house. And so what do? We get to business and, if you will, get out of those dirty clothes, get a shower and what have you. So it is that there are some things that God would have us to lay aside, if you will. And then tonight we want to talk about, if you will, bringing them back, if you will, to active growth in the Lord, which requires bringing them back to the priority of the Word of God. Bringing them back to the priority of the Word of God. He says in verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Now, he's not saying they're newborn babes. He's saying, as newborn babes, you know what? You need to stop and take stock of where you're at. And, you know, sometimes, folks, when people find themselves in sin, having difficult problems because of sin, one of the first things we should look at is our time in the Word of God. Are we spending time with God in the Word of God? Does that have a priority in our life that it ought to? I remember years ago going to my pastor and sitting down when I was having some problems. You know the first thing he asked me? He said, are you reading your Bible? Are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? And I was shocked. I was looking for some really deep theological answer. And he said, are you reading your Bible? Are you praying? Are you in the Word of God? You know, the Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Sometimes we get ourselves in a mess spiritually, and we're going backward instead of forward because we've lost the priority of the Word of God. In Psalm 23, Psalm 23, remembering, folks, that these words are the words, all the words of God are the words of our great shepherd, or the great shepherd of the sheep. In Psalm 23, David begins this psalm, and I think David understood what it was to be a shepherd because he was an actual shepherd of sheep, and he understood them, and he viewed the Lord as his shepherd spiritually. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He gives us everything we need as a good shepherd. And folks, the priority for us should be the Word of God. And sometimes we get busy, we get distracted, sometimes we get caught up in the affairs of this life, and suddenly we found ourselves sliding backward. We're not making forward progress, and God would call us back to the priority of the Word of God. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Look with me to John 21. John 21 and verse 15. John 21 and verse 15. Here our Lord Jesus Christ has just been dining with Peter with some fish. Peter, early in the chapter, is a little discouraged. He says, "I'm going fishing." Goes back to fishing. Not that fishing is wrong, but it would almost seem that he's going back to his old occupation. The Lord gets his attention because he's got a work for Peter to do. Verse 15, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" What's he referring to? The fish and fishing, the occupation of fishing. You know, a few years earlier, the Lord had went to them where they were fishing, mending their nets, and said, "Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they had been doing that, been following the Lord. He's now risen from the dead. Peter's upset about some things. God has his attention. He's drawing him back, calling him to a work again, and says in verse 15, he saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." You know, the lambs refer to the young in the Lord, if you will. It goes on to say, he saith to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." He saith unto him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Now, I think there was a problem in Peter's heart. And folks, when God repeats himself to us, he's trying to get our attention, amen? Even as he was trying to get Peter's attention, he said, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" He saith unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." God was calling him to shepherd his sheep, to shepherd his sheep. Feed my sheep means to shepherd the sheep, to care for the sheep, to feed them spiritually, to look out for them. You know, Christ was their first shepherd in Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem's first shepherd was the great shepherd of the sheep, our Lord Jesus Christ. And now as he is about to go back, or to ascend into heaven, calls Peter to feed his sheep. Now feed them what? Well, we know he's not talking about actual food. He's talking about spiritual nourishment, spiritual food. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we'll look at verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. Paul writing to the church at Corinth. And, it, you know, it was one of the larger churches that he had dealt with. A very carnal group, if you will. He says so as much in the Bible repeatedly in this particular book. But he says here in 1 Corinthians 3 and 1, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual. They imagined that they were spiritual. They were comparing preachers. They were saying, "Well, I like this one better than this one, and he's this." And That's anything but spiritual. He says here, our brethren could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy, strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? What are some of the things we talked about last week? Some of those were envy, and envy often leads to strife and other kinds of difficulties. They were not spiritual, they were carnal. And Paul is calling them, likening them unto babes in Christ. He says, you're not making forward progress here. You're carnal, you're fleshly, you're concerning yourself with the things of the flesh rather than the things of the Spirit, though they imagine themselves to be spiritual. In Hebrews chapter 5, there are times if we're not careful in all of our lives where we're not making this a kind of forward progress that we ought to be making in our Christian life. And I want to say this before we get any further into the message. Be careful of getting down on yourself. You know, some people beat themselves up because they look at another Christian and say, well, you know, I'm not making the progress that that person's making. One of the most difficult things in the Christian life that you might do to yourself, as the Bible says, Paul said, they comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. It is never wise to compare yourself with some other Christian, because we all grow at different rates. Some are babes in Christ, some are a little older, some are having one problem over another, what have you. Don't compare yourself with anybody else. If anything, look to Christ. Follow His example. And you know what? If we all did that, we'd all find out that we're lacking. That there is something more to be learned, something more that we could do better at, and so on and so forth. Hebrews chapter 5. And if you will look at verse 12. Here Paul writes, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, he was saying to these Hebrew believers, you know, you should have already grown up enough to be able to be teachers and helpers of other people. And yet, you know, it's almost as if you're stalled. You're stalled, you're stagnant in your spiritual growth. And let me say this, folks, there are people that could be used of God in a greater way if they would, if you will, grow up as the Lord would have them grow up. Realizing, let me say this, folks, every one of us, we should daily ask God, Lord, help me to know where I'm at. And if there's a problem, the Bible says in Psalms, see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. We should never, you know, listen, we should never get to a place where we're satisfied with where we're at spiritually. Because if we do that, we're in trouble. We are in trouble. Paul wasn't like that. Paul didn't want to be that. Well, Paul was super Christian. You know what? Paul said in Romans 7, the things that I hate are the things that I do. He said, for the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. Paul had flesh just like you and I do. Paul had stumblings just like you and I do. And yet Paul was ever saying, he said, listen, I haven't arrived, I haven't attained, I don't want to keep moving forward. In Matthew 4:4, look with me there. Matthew 4:4, the spiritual food that we need is ever the Word of God. In Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. I remember years ago, we had someone visiting the church at the time, and they said, well, the Bible's just a collection of, written by a bunch of guys, and you know, we can't trust it. I said, listen, God has preserved for us, in our King James Bibles, every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. All scriptures given by inspiration of God. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. These words are the words of God. These are words that we ought to, if you will, nourish our spiritual life on. We need, you know what, folks, we need, you know, there are a lot of books that people write. And some of the books are probably okay. But sometimes people will read a book that somebody else wrote instead of reading the book that God gave us to read, to feed on, so that we can feed on Christ. If you will, look with me to Matthew 7. Matthew chapter 7. Sometimes we may find ourselves struggling and wondering, why am I not making progress? Well, it could be because we've set aside the Word of God in our lives. Look, if you will, let's start in verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, why is it therefore, therefore? Because of verses 21 to 23. We want to be sure that our faith is based on the rock Christ Jesus in truth and sincerity. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. You know, how many Christians sometimes don't take seriously the admonition of Christ concerning the Word of Christ? You know, sometimes if we're not careful, every one of us, sometimes I think even including preachers. I remember years ago in Bible college, a guy coming up to me, and he was concerned about his own spiritual life, and he was about to graduate and go off into the ministry. And he said to me, he said, you know, he said, Dan, he said, I'm troubled. He said, I've been in Bible college, and I've been preparing for the ministry, and it won't be long I'll be going out to the ministry. But he said, you know what? I don't feel like I'm spiritual. Man, what a mouthful. And he said, you know what? I feel like I need to get back to the basics. That means, he said, I want to get back to the Word of God and making it the important book in my life and walking with God and saying, God, help me to be what I ought to be. I mean, he had a head full of knowledge. He was a smart fella, a good preacher, and yet here he was concerned that he didn't really feel like he was making progress spiritually. I felt bad for him, but you know what? It caused me to look at myself. And I said, well, this guy can be struggling. What about me? In John 15, look with me there. John 15, you know, sometimes people, we begin to view things, oh, yeah, that's just that passage of Scripture. Oh, yeah, I've heard that before. You know what, folks? We need to hear sometimes the same old things over and over again to be reminded of what's important. In John 15 and 1, Jesus said this, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken. We're talking about the priority of the Word of God in our daily walk with the Lord. He says here, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me can do nothing. If a man abide in me, and he is cast, abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and so shall ye be my disciples. Folks, fruit bearing and a fruitful Christian life is a Christian life that is moving forward, and it doesn't have to be at a rabbit's pace. It can be at a small, slower pace, and yet you can still be spiritual and fruitful. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. Abiding in Christ is being in His Word daily, walking with God, and letting the Word of God speak to you daily and direct us in our lives. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17, Paul writes here, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." You know what, folks? I've said this many a time, but the Bible is a mirror. And so, folks, if we're not before the mirror regularly, God cannot show us where we are. He can't show us whether or not we're somehow stalled and stagnant and having a problem. It's important. The Bible says in Philippians 1 and 6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. God is at work trying to produce spiritual growth and fruitfulness, even as the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, and I believe it's, I forget the verse, verse 22 and following, and He speaks of the fruit of the Spirit. That's the fruit of the Christ and the Spirit of God in you, working with His Word to produce, if you will, spiritual fruit and forward progress and growth in the Christian life. In Philippians 2 and 13, Paul writes, "For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Look with me to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, the priority of the Word of God as Peter is addressing. You know, you would think, well, why wouldn't Peter give them some deep, deep thing? Because they couldn't handle anything deep. And you know, sometimes, folks, basic truth is where we need to get back to. Sure. Peter's bringing them back to the basic truth of the priority of the Word of God in Ephesians 4:11. "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints." You know, when we talk about perfecting and the word perfect, He's not talking about, again, without sin. He's speaking of spiritual maturity, spiritual growth. He says, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children." Now, what are we talking about? Spiritual growth, maturity, "that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase the body unto the edifying of itself in love." We're talking about spiritual growth. One of the reasons we have a scriptural church is it's not only an institution or vehicle for communicating the gospel to a lost and dying world, but when those souls get saved by the grace of God, the Bible says we're all the children of God by faith in Christ. We begin as babes in Christ. Those babes need to have some nurturing and someone to care for them, someone to shepherd them along the way to spiritual growth and maturity. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. And that's even what Peter is trying to do in his general epistle to these strangers in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And let's begin in verse 14. 2 Timothy 2 and 14. "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers." Now, Paul is about to go home to be with the Lord. He's giving parting instruction to Timothy concerning the ministry and the important necessities going on here. He says in verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." This idea of rightly dividing speaks of the shepherds and stewards of what belongs to Christ. You know, the church and God's people belong to the Lord. And God has given us a responsibility, as a shepherd myself, as a pastor, has given me a responsibility to rightly divide the word of truth, if you will, to make proper distribution to each one under his care as their necessities require for spiritual growth. And you know what, folks? It's important that I study, that I'm prepared to feed God's people. To feed God's people. And you know what? Sometimes people think, well, preacher, you belabor things. I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather belabor the truth and feed people the truth and be sure they know the truth than get up and waste their time. Spiritual growth comes by someone taking the time to shepherd people, to care for them spiritually, to feed them properly. Look with me to 1 Peter 2. See the second and last thing. 1 Peter 2. And Peter and the Lord is concerned about the growth of his people and what looks like some stagnation in their growth. Now look at verse 3. I'll start in verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now, when the Lord says, if, he's putting a question mark on the spiritual condition of those he's writing to. And he's speaking specifically concerning their salvation. You know, sometimes as a pastor, we'll preach our hearts out to people. We want to help them. We do all that we can to help them. And then we watch people walk away from the truth and never come back to it. And you look for growth and there's no growth. You look for life and there's no life. And sometimes there's a genuine reason for it. And unfortunately, Peter's addressing a problem that sometimes we as preachers don't want to accept, and that is the fact that sometimes we're preaching to people who are just plain lost and expecting them to get up and pull the wagon of Christianity, and they can't do it. They can't do it because they're not saved. John 8, look with me there. John 8 and 31. John 8 and 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If. Sometimes we wonder, well, why can't they seem to keep on keeping on? Why can't they seem to stay by the stuff? And then suddenly they're there for a while, and then they're gone. And you can't get them back. And sometimes we wring our hands, we're upset, we cry, and we say, God, what's wrong? Well, Peter and the Lord is trying to identify sometimes what the problem is. The problem is that some people are just plain lost. Look with me to Matthew 25. Matthew 25 and verse 31. Matthew 25 and 31. Here the Lord Jesus Christ, using a parable, teaches us something here. It says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. You know, sometimes, folks, there are those that profess to be sheep and they're nothing but goats. You know, goats don't follow. Goats don't follow. Goats are independent, sometimes obnoxious and nasty. They don't follow. Now, sheep follow. Sometimes they'll follow the wrong person, but they're followers. Genuine sheep are. Look at John 6. John 6. And verse 66. John 6 and verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now, there was great multitudes that followed the Lord Jesus Christ and would have been considered, or at least called, disciples, because for a time they followed Christ. They followed him so they could be healed. They followed him so they could be fed. They followed him for whatever they could get out of the Lord. But when Christ began to preach that he himself was the bread of life, they said in one place, "This is an hard saying, who can hear it?" And they went back and walked no more with him. Verse 67, "Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. You know, there was a devil among the divine. There was a devil among the divine, even as there are goats among the sheep. 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13. Look at verses 5 and 6. 2 Corinthians 13, verses 5 and 6. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you're not your own selves. How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. But I trust that you shall know that we are not reprobates. Now, why would Paul say that? Well, because Paul is dealing with a pretty contentious lot of people. And many, he's trying to get their attention. He said, you're like babies. You don't seem to be growing. You don't seem to be making forward progress. You're a carnal lot. And on top of it, you're constantly critical of me. He said, the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. He said, I would gladly spend and be spent for you. And yet they treated him as if he were some kind of a second-class preacher. And had given his heart and soul to helping them to be saved and to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord. And that's why Paul finally says, you know, maybe there's a problem here that we haven't discussed yet. He says again in verse 5, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you're not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. What is a reprobate? Those who are rejected of God because they've rejected Christ. Those who are rejected of God because they've rejected Christ. And it's sad because Paul had been observing them. He'd been watching them. He'd been trying to shepherd them, help them. And yet they seem to be at every turn his enemy and opposing him. And folks, Paul was spiritual. Paul was spiritual. Paul wasn't a reprobate. Paul was spiritual. And yet they couldn't see that. They couldn't distinguish the fact that there he was helping them, blessing them, leading them in the right way. Sometimes that's the case in our churches. Sometimes that's the case among those that profess to know the Lord. They don't really have a heart to follow God or those who are following God. Paul said, be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. Galatians 4. Look at verse 19. Galatians 4 and 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. I think there's a concern in Paul's heart among these Galatian churches as to whether some of them are saved. And he says this, I desire to be present, verse 20, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? I mean, here were some people, some Jews that had come in trying to mix law and grace. Paul had preached the grace of the gospel of Jesus Christ to them, and these guys come in, and Johnny come lately, he's come in and began to say, well, you know what Paul says is okay, but let's not forget the law. And Paul says, you know, what about your liberty that you have in Christ Jesus? They were losing sight of they were going backward, not forward. And in some cases, among some of these churches, there were those that should have been doubted. Hebrews 6. And look at verse 1. Here Paul writes, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection." He's talking about spiritual maturity again. "Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of the eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit." Let me say this. You only have to get saved one time, but it needs to be genuine. You need to lay the foundation properly on Christ Jesus by grace through faith, genuine faith in Christ. Repentance and faith. Repentance toward God, as the Bible says, and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we need to go on into perfection, spiritual growth, moving forward. And this will we do if God permit. Let me say this. God will not permit spiritual growth because there cannot be where there's no life, where there's no proper foundation that is laid for spiritual growth. He goes on to say, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is reject and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak." He was talking about some who appeared to be those who had followed the Lord in repentance and faith in Christ and what have you. But, if you will, they were producing thorns and briars. There was no fruit of genuine salvation. There was no spiritual growth. But then he says, he says in verse 9, "But we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation." You know, there were those among these that he wrote to that were genuinely saved. But as is always the case in every church, there are those that are not moving forward. There are those that are stagnant in spiritual growth, even those that seem to be going backward constantly. And that has to put a question mark over their life as to whether they're truly saved by the grace of God. Because if they are, God will permit them to go on into perfection. Because God will perform that which He's promised to do in their life. Someone once said, "If we plant a tree, it begins to grow. If we set a post, it begins to decay." The story is told of a farmer who, in prayer meetings of his church, in describing his Christian experience, always said, "Well, I'm not making much progress, but I'm established." One spring, the farmer was setting out some logs. His wagon sank in the mud in a soft place in the road. He could not get it out. As he sat upon the top of the logs viewing the situation, a neighbor who had never accepted the principle of the old farmer's religious experience came along and greeted him. "Well, Brother Jones, I see that you're not making much progress, but you're established. I see that you're not making much progress, but you're established." You know, my desire is not to cause a genuine Christian to doubt. But understand this, there are times when every one of us should get before God and say, "Lord, help me to see me as I am. Am I making the kind of progress you want me to make?" Because folks, if we're not careful, we may get to a place where we've stagnated, we're stuck in the mud, and we're not going forward, we're going nowhere. And God may have to do something to rattle your chain, and He's going to. But sometimes I think God will step back and see what it really means to you and to me. David said in the Psalms, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Does our heart pant after the Lord? Is he the priority of our life? Are we concerned as to whether or not we're making forward progress? You know, Peter was concerned for those that he wrote to. God was concerned for them because he wrote through Peter to them. But are we concerned? And again, I'm not saying these things to discourage you, but to help you. Help you to look and see if there's something wrong with the progress we're making, or maybe whether or not we're just plain stuck. We're stuck, and we're not moving forward. You know, the Lord wants you to move forward. He loves you. He wants you to make progress. And you know what, folks? By the grace of God, if we want to make progress, he will help us to make progress. Amen? But you know, sometimes, we ought to. Amen? We're not growing. And we need to be restored to active growth in the Lord. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening. If you have questions about this message, or if you would like information about our church, please visit us online at bbcdickinson.com.